Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi guys, welcome back to the next episode of The City Confessions. I hope you're all doing well, and I'm so excited for today's guest because she's one of my best friends and I love her to death. I have Sonia Sultan. She is a lifestyle blogger and also the assistant manager for Gucci North America, which is just mind-blowing to me. So welcome, and thank you so much for being on.
Hi! Oh my god, thank you so much for having me. I love you, so thank you for doing this, and I'm so proud of everything that you're doing.
Oh, I freaking love you. But it's so crazy because I think what you do is amazing, and we'll talk all about it. But let's just kind of rewind and tell the listeners how we met, because it is actually so funny. How many years has it been? Is it like 3 or 4, right?
Yeah, at least four.
We met at like, I don't even know what it was. Was it like a, it was like a beauty, but also like a golfer, right? Or was it, no, a tennis player.
Yeah, it was the brunch hosted by Lavazza Coffee.
Wow.
And it was for Andre Agassi or Agassi, I don't know how you say his last name. And it was to kick off the U.S. Open.
Girl, you have such a good memory. I'm over here like golfing and beauty.
But I still remember. And it was at Nomo Soho. Mm-hmm. And the brunch, amazing.
It was so funny because there was obviously a lot of food. And I just remember seeing this girl getting food, and I can tell, well, I didn't know for sure, but I was kind of there by myself, and I saw you kind of alone, and I just went up to you, and I don't even know what I said, but I think I said something about like, oh, what are you getting, or like something to do with the food, and that's how we bonded. And then ever since then,
we literally bonded over like fruit.
We were getting
like fruit.
100%. Okay, but why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners and tell them again, like what you do in your own words, and also your relationship with New York City, because that's something that I'm not personally aware of as well.
Okay, I'm an assistant manager for the Gucci Client Services North America. And then like here and there, I also kind of blog. I used to like fully write a blog, but I don't have time for that anymore. So it's mostly just like Instagram and lifestyle pictures. New York City, I mean, I can't see myself being anywhere but here. I came here when I was, you know, like 6, 7. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I grew up in Queens, but like I've always been a city girl because I went to college out there. My school was in Queens, but everything other than school, all my life I've been in the city, and it's just a place that, you know, I couldn't imagine without. So New York City is home, and I think we'll always be home. If someone like asks me to move elsewhere, I would probably say no.
Right. And where were you born?
I was born in Pakistan.
Okay, amazing. And then do you have any like memories of those years or not really?
As in like...
Like being in Pakistan before you came here.
Yeah. You know what? I actually do, but I actually even like started school there. I think I was there in school until like first grade. Mm-hmm. I went to St. Joseph's over there. Mm-hmm. So I remember some things, but honestly, I don't remember much. I remember like little things like probably at home and like just family. That's probably what I remember the most of, because obviously, you know, I was always with my family. Mm-hmm. But like overall, as far as like going to school or having friends, I don't really remember much. I probably have like 2 or 3 friends at most that I keep in touch with, mm-hmm. From childhood, but that's really it.
Yeah. And speaking of family, I know that you are definitely like a family, girl, I guess you can say, like, you value family, and I've been around your family and they're so lovely and welcoming. Can you just explain a little bit about the family dynamic and maybe like why you guys are such a, you know, close-knit family?
Yeah, so I mean, like, I think you can also speak on this, like, culturally, you mm-hmm, know, mm-hmm. Family is basically everything for us, and that's what we grow up with. That's something that's like, you know, hammered into our brains, like family is everything, and without family you're nothing. So mm-hmm. I think that's the idea that I grew up with. And not only that, like when I was growing up, you know, back home we have a huge house where we had a joint family system. So we had our aunt in the house, we had our mm-hmm. uncle in the house as well, and then, you know, even like our servants or like our maids, like, and considered them family. Mm-hmm. So it was basically like everyone that you were around is supposed to be a part of your family or a part of your life, and without them you're basically nowhere. And I think that's just something that I've kind of held on to, and we're extremely close-knitted. Like anything that I need, you know, I'll definitely call my mom, I'll definitely call my brother or my sister, and same thing goes the other way. So I think, you know, it's just a cultural thing that's kind of hammered into us that you kind of grow up with.
Mm-hmm. No, I love hearing that. And I know that you have a sister in Dubai, correct?
Yes.
So how do you maintain that relationship, since obviously it's like a long distance sibling relationship right now?
So we actually have a family group chat, and it's all of us siblings and my mom, and then like my husband's in there, my brother-in-law's. So we all keep in constant touch. We're always like writing in there, we're cracking jokes. My sister and I will do like video conference.
We just, I know, they're so cute. I yeah, love when you guys do that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good to, you know, be close, especially when you're so far.
For sure, yeah. And so can you tell me, did you always have an interest in fashion? Like, how did that love for that like industry and that field kind of grew? Because as I know from you, like when I first met you, you know, it was like we bonded obviously from food, but also like fashion and everything that was in that field. And then obviously you work in Gucci. So how did that, what was your journey like, you know, being in the, I guess, buying field, the retail, and then fashion?
Yeah. So it was so weird because, I always wanted to be a trauma surgeon in the ER.
Oh my God, really? I didn't know this.
For supporting me in. They were like, go for it, do what you need to do. And then when I started college, I actually went into nursing. And then maybe like 2 semesters in, I realized this wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, no, I can't do this. So then I ended up obviously graduating as a medic. But it was so weird. I mean, yes, I was now officially, you know, going to school for a medical field, but I just had this little thing in me where it was like, well, why don't I ever explore fashion? I think I enjoy it. I like it. Maybe I don't know all of it, but maybe I should explore it. So I got my first job ever at Tommy Hilfiger, and I don't even remember how old I was. And I think that was like the spark of fashion. Mm-hmm. And from Tommy I went over to Burberry, and from Burberry I went over to Chanel, from Chanel went over to Fendi, and then, you know, finally then I went to Barney's, and then finally landed at Gucci. So it was a great journey, and I think with like every step of every retail brand I learned so much. Mm-hmm. And with that I learned that I actually love fashion more than I thought I did.
Yeah, no, I love hearing that, because also going back to when we met, this was a time when you, like, they sought you out, right? Weren't you kind of like in between jobs at the time?
Yes. Yeah, that's
so amazing too, because I think it just shows the value that you bring, because you weren't even looking, you know what I mean? And I remember you were also like not hesitant, but you weren't even completely like, oh my God, yes. You were like, let me see if this is good for me, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and yeah. I think that's like the thing with like any job move, especially in fashion, because the industry is so big. And then you really have to make sure that this is what you want and you know what you're signing up for. So yeah, that's exactly why I was kind of hesitant as to if I wanted to move forward or not. But you know, that's fashion. I mean, like, even with, you know, everything that you do, like, you're amazing at what you do. And then there are things where even with like working with certain brands, you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this, mm-hmm. or I don't, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Because you are so knowledgeable in what you do. So it's like, you know what you want with your next step. Or sometimes even if you don't, mm-hmm. you kind of are like, well, do I not? Like, you have to weigh it in.
Right. So right now, how are you juggling the full-time job with blogging? I mean, I know that blogging has always been probably like a passion thing and a side thing you've done, but obviously with your recent promotion, congrats by the way, I know that your workload has been obviously crazy. So how are you balancing all of that?
Honestly, it has been very crazy, and a lot of times you know, blogging has to take a back seat, which is okay, but I think I try to do as much as I can. Like, I'll try to time it out. But for the most part, you know, with work, it requires a lot of hours and a lot of attention overall. So what I'll do is basically, like, using Instagram or, like, blogging as, like, my sanity, I'd like to say. So mm-hmm. that's my hour away to kind of be like, okay, now I am just kind of disconnecting from the work world to do what I love. So here and there, I'll like try to schedule things as far as like posts, or I'll try to create content when I know, you know, this is the time that I really, really need to disconnect from work, because it can get really overwhelming. So I'll be like, okay, you know what? Today was really overwhelming. Tomorrow I have to create content. So mm-hmm. just my way of kind of relaxing.
Right. And you are a boss babe and a woman in, you know, great status in your career, very driven. What would you say to those who are, you know, maybe thinking they can't have it all? Do you know what I mean? Because I feel like, yeah, in our society, it's like, I mean, you're married and like you're still doing your blog. You still have an amazing job and obviously a great relationship with your family and friends. And I think a lot of women struggle nowadays to kind of almost choose, you know? And so what's like your biggest advice?
To say is that a lot of like females are mistaken as to them thinking that they're limited to doing certain things and like exploring certain options, because it's like, well, you know, they think, okay, I haven't stepped my foot in the water yet, so you know what, maybe I really shouldn't, because I wouldn't be good at it. And I think the best part is to really explore everything and anything, and the best thing that you can learn from is failure. So even if you fail, you will learn, and it's like, okay, well, you know what, maybe this wasn't for me, or maybe it will teach me a lesson as to I failed because I did something a certain way, so maybe I'll try it again a different way. So I think everyone has the capability of doing anything that they want to do and everything that they want to do. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it all depends on how much you can handle. But I like to kind of think of what I like to do and take it one step at a time and keep adding it. So like maybe today, if I like cooking, it's going to be like, okay, well, for next month, I'm going to add that on my agenda and see that if I can take that task on. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really about planning your life and really thinking that you can do it all, and then from there on, that's it. Fear is behind you and you're running.
Okay, so I don't know how to phrase this question, because originally I wanted to ask what has been your biggest failure, but I think I want to reframe that to ask what has been your biggest lesson. So in your career or personal life, whatever it may be, what was like that one moment where it was just like eye-opening or changed the trajectory of your life, your mindset, and how did you handle that? Because I don't think I've ever personally asked you that.
I mean, with work, I think the biggest blessing is that when I've like moved from one place to another, when it comes to like jobs, I've always looked for peace. While I've always loved working and being at the places that I've worked at, I've looked for a place where I could find, like, when I come to work, I love it. When I leave, it's like, if I have to work again, I don't mind it. I can wake up again and do this thing all over again and call it a career. I think the biggest thing that I found right now at Gucci, and I'm really happy, is family. Because, like I said, like, I'm very family-oriented, even with personal family. So with Gucci, we have a beautiful Gucci family. And I think that's what gives me peace, and it also keeps me going. And when I found the family that I have at work, it was eye-opening to me, because it was like, wow, I didn't know that people can actually have a family at work that cares for you, that takes care of you, that lifts you up when you're down, that, you know, kind of takes the workload or shares the workload if it's too much on your shoulders. I think that was just a beautiful thing for me, and I never knew that that really existed in a workforce, when it really does.
Mm-hmm. That's so amazing, though, because I don't know if that many people can say that. I mean, personally, when I had my, you know, corporate job, I guess you can say, that was definitely not the work environment or culture. And I know so many people struggle with that. And it just goes to show how much of a role that, you know, community, that feeling, that environment has on your, honestly, your experience with a job. Because I know people who have left jobs, and the job itself is fine, you know what I mean? But it's like the people you work with is so toxic, it really, really will drive you crazy. So you're so lucky to have such a great family, again, that you can call from work, you know? It's awesome. Yeah. Okay, so I want to shift gears a little bit and just ask you, what keeps you up at night currently? So as we all know, we are going through a pandemic, but it can be related to the pandemic or not, because I think we all handle it, you know, in our own unique ways. But yeah, if like you were just to take a moment to just analyze your life right now and think about what's stressing you out, what are your like worries, what are those things that come to mind?
I think what my worry right now is just when I think about like how many people in the world are kind of hurting over this pandemic and just overall what has happened, right? Not only that, I mean, there's so much worry in the world, and sometimes I just think of it and I'm like, wow, I mean, we're so blessed, and sometimes we don't count our blessings or thank God enough. Meanwhile, we have like people who are dying of hunger. We have people who were with their family member yesterday, and the next thing you know, they just got affected by, you know, COVID, and then they're not here today. And it's like, wow, I could never imagine in a million years what it ever feels to sit at a dinner table without a parent. And, you know, knowing that they were here 2 days ago or a week ago, and that they're no longer here, and that, you know, you couldn't have prepared for it, and there's no way to prepare for such a loss, or even of an aunt or uncle or a cousin, whatever it is. So I think that's really something that's been like heavy on my heart. And I think the way that I've been coping with it is that I've been trying to really keep in touch with like a lot of like friends and family, and like, you know, send them things here and there to make sure that they're okay and that I'm here for them. And, you know, cause you never know, cause tomorrow's really not promised. And then the way this pandemic appeared, like, who knew? If I was just looking at some of my posts from last year, and I was like, wow, I was traveling, who knew that this mm-hmm. year was going to be so mm-hmm. different? Like, I was supposed to be in Saudi Arabia right now, and everything just kind of went left, you know? So mm-hmm. the way that life changes, we can never ever be ready for it, but when it does and it hits you so hard, you're just like, wow, like, I could have never imagined.
Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%. And I do want everybody to know that you are somebody that I think has such a beautiful heart. I know that, you know, recently in light of everything that's happened, you posted a story and you were saying, you know, I'm here for you guys. And like, if any of you guys need help, like, don't feel embarrassed or ashamed to reach out, because I would do anything, you know, in your power or to your best ability to help out. And I thought that was such a beautiful thing. I've always knew this about you, but it just made it even more apparent. So I do think, I just want people to like know that's who you are, like genuinely, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's really important, right? Like, for us to kind of help each other out, because we all live in the same world at the end of the day. And if we have the means, why not? And I think, like, especially like people who are in need, and if they ask you for it and for you to kind of judge them, that's a reflection of yourself and no one else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I really love that about you too, because I feel like you're always there to check up on people and spread happiness, and you're always there to like share ideas. Like, I remember like when I was starting vlogging, I had so many questions for you, and you were all there. You were like, yeah, sure, let me tell you, or this is what you do, mm-hmm. this, that, and the other. And like, even looking at your most recent posts and how you were teaching people how to create content while just sitting home and be creative, it's like huge, because people don't do that on Instagram. It's like all about them. Mm-hmm. So I think it's beautiful that you share these kind of things with people who maybe can one day make it a career, or have made it a career thanks to you, you know, with like some of the things that you've shared. Because I know for sure some of the things that you shared with me and some of these collaborations I get, those are the techniques that I use or learn from you. So
you're so sweet. This is not about me. This is about you, girl.
Yeah, but it's about you too.
No, but I think that's, I think just hearing both of us compliment each other is very telling of, I think, the success of our relationship and like why we connected in the first place. Because even when we met, it was a time where, you know, social media was blooming. It was at its peak, I would say, or like reaching its peak, right? Like, there was this new like industry forming and all these like new events. It was so, so exciting. But all of us who were in it had no idea what was going on. We were just like riding the wave at the time. And as you can probably, I think, agree with, also during that time, a lot of people, I don't know, like they didn't always have others' best interests at heart, like you mentioned. You know, I thought it was very catty. It was very fake, to be quite honest. And yeah. I think in the beginning, I always wanted to meet new people, not because I was a social climber, just because I'm naturally outgoing and I'm always fascinated with people's backgrounds and stories. And I was always just naturally like, oh my God, I want to get to know this person and this person. And then it took me a while to realize, okay, not everybody's my cup of tea and vice versa. And that's okay, right? Like, this industry isn't really about making friends, but it's about finding those few that truly, truly support you in what you do and genuinely care about you. And I think that's why our friendship, you know, maintained its course and has strengthened over the years. And nowadays, I don't even really, I don't want to say don't talk to that many people, but I feel like I know my network and I'm kind of just trying to strengthen those instead of building another one. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I agree. I definitely agree. I think that, and that's also just life, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
kind of learn and that's how you grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I value relationships as well. That's why Sonia knows, like, I always text you and I'm like, when are we meeting up? Like, you don't text me back, because I take it, I mean, I don't take it personally, but it's because I'm such a, like I care about you so much. I'm always like, I really hope, like, I'm all about progressing in a friendship or a relationship, you know what I mean? So like, when there's times when I haven't spoken to you or seen you, like, I get like, not antsy, but I'm like, oh my God, like, I need to see her, I need to talk to her. Because that's just like who I am naturally, and I obviously want you in my life forever.
Yeah, and I love that about you, because it feels so good knowing that, you know, I have a friend who cares and I have a friend who checks up on me, because truth be told, I'm kind of really bad with that. I have so much happening and like my work is terrible, but still, that's not a reason to be a terrible friend. But you know, I'm bad at like just texting here and there and saying, how are you? But I think of people often, but it's just that I don't get a chance to text them.
Mm-hmm.
But to see your text message, it kind of brightens my day because I'm like, oh my gosh, she didn't forget me. She doesn't hate me. So,
but
yeah, no, people are always picking up. It means so much.
Yeah, and I think, like, don't you agree that during this time, you know, with us being home more than ever now, it really allows you to, of course, take things into a different perspective and, you know, be in tune with our feelings and our life, but then also just enjoying the simple pleasures. And then also, again, you get this, I don't know how to explain it. I get this like feeling of like, oh my God, now I see like who I care about and like who I love, because those are the people that, one, I'm reaching out to, but two, I'm like, oh my, like there's this like longing feeling of just wanting to spend time with that person, you know? And yeah.
I think it's so true, because I think, like, yes, especially like since we're home and during this time, well, we're so worried for everyone. I think the people that we're thinking of the most mm-hmm. are the people that are probably the nearest and dearest to our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're worried for them and we're reaching out to them. And, you know, now even for me, it's like, wow, these are the people that I really, really value, like you said. I mean, not that the people that I'm not reaching out to are not valuable, but it's just that, you know, they're different tiers of friendship.
100%. 100%.
Different tiers of, like, how much you value someone. So it's, like, for me, definitely the people that I've been speaking to a lot more, or, you know, that I've been texting, like, you and, like, a few other friends, like, these are the people that I really hold close to my heart, and it just kind of shows. But not to say that I don't think of you guys, like, when I'm super busy, but it just kind of brings it more into perspective as to who, like, I really care for, like, 100%, and I'm really worried for, especially during this time.
Yeah, I agree. So this podcast is called The City Confessions, and I don't know if you saw this coming or not, but I... like the second half of the episode, I usually ask my guests, like, what's your confession? And I know it sounds like, wait, what? What are you asking me? Like, you're kind of springing this out of nowhere. But my whole, I guess, reasoning for, one, naming my podcast that, and two, asking this question, is because as New Yorkers, we're constantly on the go. As you know, you can attest to this because your schedule, you know, regardless of what's happening in the world or not, is so crazy. And I know that even when I spoke to you, you know, a while ago, when your work was off the roof, like, you were saying you basically are going to work and then going home and then, you know, repeating that cycle. So I think we all carry something in us, whether that can be deep or not. It can be something super, like, silly, you know. But I think it's just like fun, to just ask people, like, what's your confession? Like, what is something that people don't know about you that you wish they did? Or, like, what is one misconception you think people have of you? So yeah, if you were to complete the sentence of what, my confession is, what would that be?
Okay. My confession,
I know.
I think that even though I complain about just, you know, how busy New York City is and, like, my commute all the time, I actually 100% love it.
Yeah.
and which is really weird, but I think it's just, it brings, like, I don't know, a weird joy to my day, and kind of makes me, like, worth my while. I don't know. It's really weird. And then I think, like, a misconception about me is that, like, usually when people either, like, see me on Instagram or, like, then if they've only talked to me, like, once or whatever, they think, like, I'm some mean, rude girl.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really not. Like, I wear my heart on my sleeve. I'm extremely, like, sentimental and emotional. Like, I think I get teary over, like, the smallest, stupidest things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think, like, overall, I'm just a type of person that looks for, like, genuine connections. I'm really not a mean girl at all.
I get that all the time about myself, so I'm with you, girl. Like, I've met people, you know, when you meet people, like, bloggers, and they'll be like, oh my God, you are so nice. And I'm like, should I be offended? Or, and they're like, oh, you don't, seem like that. And it's kind of funny because I think, I don't know if you realize this. So in my like old photos, I actually would never smile. Like, I feel like I would always just like have one of those like poses. Like, I would always pose, you know, because that was just like my thing. And then I remember I was taking photos with like friends and like photographers. And then I would obviously, because I'm really silly and just like, I love to have fun during a photo shoot, because what's the point of, you know, being serious? And they would be like, oh my God, you, like, I love when you smile. Or, like, you should smile more. And I was like, no, that's not my thing. That's not my look. But then I started to do it. And I feel like people like recognize that. And then it made me feel like the photo shoots or taking photos was just easier. Like, I didn't have, I think when you try too hard, that's when it gets a little, you know, like worky. That's not even a word, but it's very, it's like, I like to blend it and make it like effortlessly. So yeah, but it's funny because like, I feel like people always tell me that all the time, like, oh, I didn't know, like, oh my God, like so surprised that I'm like nice. And I'm like, okay. Yeah.
That's true. I think I have that too. Like, I have like a mean face for some reason. And yeah, like when I do smile, it's like people are like, wait, you smile too? And
yeah. The resting bitch face. The photo that actually stands out in my mind of us two is when we were like, it was fashion week and we're like holding hands, and it's such a beautiful photo because we both are like smiling. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
It's my most favorite picture of your fashion week with you in your blue denim jacket.
Yes.
And like your yellow skirt. Like, skirt.
And you were all in red, yes. And then my other favorite one of us is in the Hamptons. And that one was so, it's so cute. Like, the one where we were both standing just, like, by the pool.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Memories.
Wow. We've had some great memories.
I know. I can't wait for this to be over because I was like, oh, I just want to, I feel like people are going to go crazy after this. Like, they're not going to know how to handle themselves.
That's so true. I agree.
You know what's also crazy? So, I was talking to my roommate the other day about just, like, people and like friends and like how they act. And you know when you have somebody who's like, they're like genuinely nice, but then like you don't want to be on their bad side. Mm-hmm. That's like you. Like, you're the sweetest person, but like, girl, like, do not be on Sonia's bad side, because like, she will fucking like and it's like, I think people have like extremes, and it's so funny because you definitely come to mind, not in a bad way, it's just like, don't fuck with me, because if you fuck with me, then like, it's just not gonna be good for you. But if you're like a nice person, then like, you know, it's just, you're gonna get the best side of me. So it's so funny.
Yeah, I think like everyone deserves that energy and emotion and attitude that they put out. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, negatives make a positive, but yeah, sometimes you have to kill people with kindness, but like, how much kindness can you kill them with, and if they're not dying with it, you know what I mean? So it's just like, all right, like sometimes you have to stoop to certain people's level to kind of show them that, you know what, like, look, I'm here where you are. Do you understand now? Mm-hmm. And that's how they understand. That's how they learn. And not saying that some people don't come out better from it. And a lot of people do, you know, that turns that kind of experience into a very positive lesson afterwards. And, you know, some people deserve it. And there are just some people who are nasty in the world. And they, no matter how nice you are to them, they're just extremely fake and they're not genuine. And, you know, I'm the type of person that I can't be fake. I like you, and you're going to know I like you. And if I don't like you, it has to be a very, very good and specific reason of me not liking you. And I will give you chances, because you know what? You don't ever judge someone by like one wrong thing that they've done or two wrong things. And it's like, fine, you give them chances, but then you also have to know that at a certain point, you have to stop giving people chances, because that's when you realize this is just who they are, you know?
No, I love that.
Not saying that people don't change in the future. Obviously, everyone strives to do better. I'd like to say that, and I'd like to give them the benefit of the doubt, but sometimes you really have to, you know, kind of put on your big girl pants and say, listen, don't try it, because I will meet you halfway of whatever attitude or emotion that you're showing.
No, I agree with you. I think you touch upon a few good points. One is tough love. I definitely have done that with friends and like even my sister. Like you have to kind of just like be mean in a way, but not in a bad set. It actually comes from a really good place. And I think too, it's like setting boundaries, right? I mean, everybody is, that's what I've been learning recently, actually, now that I'm like growing older and trying to, how do I like put my people pleasing version of myself to the side, because that's how I always grew up. Like I always wanted people to like me. I always wanted to please people, even if it may be like my happiness was being sacrificed. And I think it's like what you were saying, like you have to be able to like set your boundaries and not put yourself first, but like just really, really be in tune with, you know, what makes you tick. And those are the things that are like non-negotiables for yourself.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah, it's hard though, but I think, I don't know, it takes time to kind of set your ground, like you said.
Yeah, I think it's super hard actually. And, you know, I used to be that person too, where I used to be like, oh my God, no, I have to make sure that everyone's happy. And I have to be that person who has to make sure that everyone comes together. And at one point I was just like, okay, but then, you know, while I understand I'm trying to keep everyone happy, what does that do for me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you have to think about yourself too. And I think like that's the thing with me and you, we kind of forget about ourselves and we're so worried about everyone else, mm-hmm. and making sure that everyone else is okay. That, you know, at one point you realize that and you're like, okay, while I'm keeping you happy, I have to make sure that I'm happy too.
100%, girl. I want to take a moment right now to just really, really take time to express how much I love you and appreciate you, and I really do admire you. I don't think I tell you this enough, but I'm always fascinated by everything that you do and what you stand for and just who you are. Again, I never take it personally when I know that, you know, there are obviously times when I'm like, oh my God, I wish I could see Sonia more. I wish I could talk to her more. I know that you have a life. You have family and a career and everything else. But I really do look up to you. And I also think that you're, I mean, I hope like people don't get offended by this, but I think you're one of the most beautiful person I've ever like met or have in my life. I know it sounds cheesy and I've told you this before, but sometimes I think this is what I realized when we were in Vegas, because I spent a lot of time with you that weekend and I was like, oh my God, like she's like so beautiful. Like, no, seriously, you have stunning eyes. You have like what, like hazel green eyes? They're so beautiful. And yeah, sometimes I just look at you and I'm like, damn, this girl is just, I don't know, people are gonna be like, do you have a crush on her or what?
I think that's just our relationship, right? Because, like, I always think and say the same about you. So I think that's just our relationship and that's just who we are with each other. And, like, if it was someone who definitely doesn't know us, they would definitely think there was some shady business happening here.
No, but all seriousness, like, all jokes aside, like, seriously, I really do just, like, love you so, so much. And it comes from the friendship, but also from, like, a just, like, a general citizen. Like I just look at you and I just look up to you as well, you know what I mean? And I think, again, it's really your heart. Like your heart is so, so, so pure, and you're one of those friends that I know I don't need to talk to every day and I don't need to speak to or see every single day, but every time we do hang out, you know, everything is like amazing. We never had like a bad experience or moment or anything like that. It's always been positive. So I love that about you.
I think that, you know, overall, I really appreciate that too, because I truly love you and I truly love a friendship that's basically not needy, right? Like it's not a friendship we both have like two separate careers and we're both so busy in life. So yeah, like you definitely can't text me every day and I definitely can't text you every day, but every single time like we meet, I feel like the last time we met after so long, and it was like, wait, have so much to tell you, and it felt like I just met you maybe like 5 days before that, and in 5 days we have so much to catch up on.
Yeah.
So it never feels like we haven't sat together for a long time or we haven't talked for a long time, because every time we meet, I feel like I'm sitting with a sister and like we're going Aww. Over life, and like you give me like so much good advice, and when I can tell you what I feel about like certain situations, I'll give you my advice. And I really appreciate a friendship that, you know, is based on like being trustworthy and like be truthful and, you know, giving each other advices that are coming from a good place. And I also love that we don't ever take anything like offensive when we speak to each other, because like it's very transparent and it's mm-hmm. like, okay, yeah, I'm saying this from a good place and she's saying this from a good place, and there has to be something good in this even if I'm not understanding it at the moment. So I really appreciate that, and I truly love you too, and you know, thank you for being a sister, quite honestly. Aww. Like a lot of my friends,
you're so sweet. Like,
yeah, it's you know, I don't get to call a lot of my friends sisters, and you know, I have friends, but I really have to feel that connection with you, and you know, that transparency with you, and for me to be able to call you a sister. And you are definitely one of those people where it's like, no, Marianne's like my sister, like 100%.
I love you. I hope people are not like over it. They're probably like rolling their eyes like, all right, shut up, I get it, you guys love each other. Okay, so two more questions before we wrap it up. So what are you currently up to? What are your goals? I know it's 2020. I don't even know if people even have goals, but just what can people be on the lookout for? I mean, I don't know. I mean, because it's one of those things where I'm like, can we even have any plans? But if you could have it all, I guess, like, do you have any travel plans? I don't even know if we can't travel this year, to be quite honest, but are you doing anything for your home? Like, you know what I mean? Like, personally, what do you have on the horizon?
I think, like, for 2020, I really wanted to go for, like, you know, an Islamic pilgrimage, which unfortunately got canceled. So that is definitely next on my list to do once everything's reopened. Mm-hmm. As of right now, I'm finally doing my home decor, because I haven't done so in 2 years. As you know, I moved in 2 years ago. So, and I'm late with everything. So... I mean, yeah, I'm working from home. I think while it's an unfortunate time, I think it's somewhat, I hate to say it this way, but it has somewhat worked in my favor, because it's given me a little more time at home, and I'm able to give my home some time of mine and, you know, really work on it and do decor. So I'm currently doing that right now. But I think overall, I think what I'm working towards is growing my family. I would like to. That's something that, you know, me and Mini, my husband, we've, you know, definitely.
Oh my
wanted.
God! Wait, really?
Yeah, I want to. I don't know if, you know, we're going to see this year or not. But I think like one of my goals for this year is to see if I can, you know, definitely extend my family.
Oh my God, that literally makes my heart melt so much. I love that. I'm literally like, oh my God, but I just gotta calm down. This is all about you. I'm over here like living.
We don't know. It's my goal. You asked me for a goal.
I know, but the fact that you're considering it already makes me so happy. Okay, so last question is, what is the one thing you love most about yourself?
One thing I love most about myself, I think, is that I care for people. I think, you know, the world that we live in, there are not enough people who care for each other genuinely. I think, like, when I overall, like, it could be someone that, like, I see on the street, and maybe like I'll see a homeless person and it'll literally like break my heart and like put tears into my eyes, because it's like, oh my God, what the heck, like, what is this world about? And like, you know, it's just that I care for people overall, whether I know you or not. I will care for you, because at the end of the day, you could be someone's daughter, someone's son, someone's brother, and like, you know, it breaks my heart to know that, God forbid, if something happened to someone, a family member would be devastated, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what I love about myself, that I really do care about people, and whether I know you or not, I will care for you. But once I get to know you, I will care for you times 100 and try to do whatever I can to ensure that, you know, you're good and you're happy.
I'm not even surprised that you said that because clearly that's who you are genuinely. And I love that. And it was such a great way to end the podcast because I think it's important that, you know, we all acknowledge ourselves and like what makes us so special. And the fact that you are able to say without hesitation, I know that I'm a great, you know, person and that I have empathy for people. That's like so beautiful. But thank you so much for being on this podcast. And I really hope the listeners got a great positive feeling from it because all we were doing was emitting love to each other and to the world. So yeah, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to speak with me, especially because it's like a Saturday. I feel like, but then again, every day is like the same day.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me. I think this was beautiful. It was one of my first podcasts because I really didn't know what to expect. Obviously, you made it so seamless and so comfortable. I didn't expect anything else from you, but thank you. I genuinely love you. And I, you know, I adore your sense of fashion and just all the success that you've built for yourself. And I know that this year has been a Debbie Downer, but for the rest of the year, I know it's nothing but success for you and even moving forward. So, you know, I wish you nothing but the best always.
I love you so much. Thank you again. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I'm going to leave all of Sanya's information below or in the description. So make sure you follow her, connect with her, and all that good stuff. And stay tuned for next week's episode. All right, bye.